how do we establish new stable states? How do we get back to a healthy microbiota if we have taken a lot of antibiotics or have a deteriorated microbiota? It's probably a combination of having infants that are born by C-section actually have a gut microbiota that looks more like human skin. The difference is that when we put the mice on the low-fiber, high-fat diet and then kept them on that for multiple generations, we saw this progressive deterioration over the course of generations, where by the fourth generation, the gut microbiome was a fraction of what it originally was. Let's say 30% of the species only remained. There's so many diseases that we're dealing with, metabolic syndrome, inflammatory bowel disease, that just put a massive portion of the population in a very different category than people that are thinking about how do I maintain health? How do I live a long life?
A few years back, there were some scientific reports, and as a consequence in the media, that excessive intake of pill form probiotics could create mental fog.
Section of pickles and jars that are canned, those are not fermented foods. Those are, if you want to have live fermented foods that contain live microbes, you need to buy those out of the... She goes on to number two, and he said, stop. If people do number one well, you don't need to know any of them. So each time an infant is born, it's this new ecosystem. It's like an island rising up out of the ocean that has no species on it. And suddenly there's this like land rush for, this open territory. We know that infants go through this really complex process of microbiota assembly over the first days, weeks, months, years of life. There are some changes in childhood, adolescence, working into adulthood, but that first 0 to 1 year is a super dynamic time with really stereotypical developmental changes in the gut microbiota that appear to have the possibility of going wrong and causing problems for infants in some instances. Whether an infant is born by C-section or born vaginally, infants that are born by C-section actually have a gut microbiota that looks more like human skin than it does like the birth canal, the vagina microbiota, or the mother's stool microbiota. Babies that are born through the birth canal have initial colonization of vaginal microbes and of stool microbes from their mother. And so just these first days, whether you're born by C-section or through natural childbirth, your gut microbiota looks very different. And then compound on top of that, whether you're breastfed or formula fed, whether your family has a pet or doesn't have a pet, whether you're exposed to antibiotics, there are all these factors that really can change that developmental process and really change your microbial identity eventually in life. When we brought back a healthy diet, a lot of the microbes returned. There was this kind of memory where it went back to very similar to its original state. The difference is that when we put the mice on the low fiber, high fat diet, and then kept them on that for multiple generations, we saw this progressive deterioration over the course of generations, where by the fourth generation, the gut microbiome was a fraction of what it originally was. Let's say 30% of the species only remained. Something like 70% of the species had gone extinct or appeared to have gone extinct. We then put those mice back onto a high fiber diet and we didn't see recovery. If we take those fourth generation mice with all the diversity and do a fecal transplant into the mice that had lost their microbes but had been returned to a high fiber diet, all of the diversity was reconstituted. How do we establish new stable states? How do we get back to a healthy microbiota if we have taken a lot of antibiotics or have a deteriorated microbiota? It's probably a combination of having access to the right microbes and nourishing those microbes with the proper diet. We're in a really interesting situation in the industrialized world because we have so many problems associated with our digestive tract, and that probably has to do with our highly processed diet and perhaps having a microbiota that's fairly perturbed as well. There's so many diseases that we're dealing with, metabolic syndrome, inflammatory bowel disease, that just put a massive portion of the population in a very different category than people that are thinking about how do I maintain health? How do I live a long life from starting off in what we consider a fairly healthy state? And so things like fasting and a lot of other therapies that have been developed in the field, there can be tremendous benefits in terms of their impact in the context of metabolic syndrome and for people that are battling eating a continual bad diet or something like that. There's just a ton of data that if you eat mostly plants, for most people, that's going to be very healthy. Number one, I'm going to say plant-based fiber is probably super important, and that should be, very high on the list. And she goes on to number two, and he said, stop. If people do number one well, you don't need to know any other rules.
meals.
I mean, it's basically like if you can have a high fiber plant-based diet, for most people, you don't really need to think about other things because you can't eat too much meat. You can't eat too many sweets. You've already eaten a huge amount of plant-based fiber. Your gut is full. You're not going to be hungry. And it kind of takes care of worrying about what should I eat or what shouldn't I eat. Just eat a ton of whole plant, you know, whole grains, legumes, vegetables, fruit that's high fiber-based. One of the things that I think is a pitfall in choosing fermented foods is, you know, you can go down the canned food aisle and there's this huge section of pickles and jars that are canned. Those are not fermented foods. Those are cucumbers that they've put in acetic acid and vinegar to reconstitute that fermented flavor, but there's no live microbes involved in that. And even sauerkrauts in the canned food aisle, even if they were naturally fermented, quite often they're not. Quite often they're just brined in vinegar. But even if they are naturally fermented, all of the microbes are killed prior to canning or during the process of canning. If you want to have live fermented foods that contain live microbes, you need to buy those out of the refrigerated section, essentially. Well, even though our hypothesis was that the high fiber was going to lead to more short-chain fatty acids produced in the gut, more diverse microbiota, less inflammation in the immune system, we didn't see that across the cohort. We actually saw very individualized responses to the dietary fiber. The big signal really was in the fermented food group. We saw all the things that you would hope to see in a Western microbiota and Western human. We saw this increase in microbiota diversity over the course of the 6 weeks while they were consuming the fermented foods. And we can't always say that higher diversity is better when it comes to our microbial communities. We know there are cases, for instance, bacterial vaginosis, where higher diversity is actually indicative of a disease state. But in the context of the gut and for people living in the industrialized world, higher diversity is generally better. We know that there's a spectrum of diversity. People with higher diversity generally are healthier. If you can push your diversity higher, you're in better shape. And so we saw that increase in diversity. In measuring all these immune parameters, there appeared to be three different groups of kind of immune responses that we were seeing. One group that got overall less inflammatory, and then two other groups that kind of had a mixed result, partly more inflammatory, partly less inflammatory in all these markers that we were looking at. And when we started digging into like what aspect of the biology of those people dictated or predicted which group they fell into, the really interesting part is the people with the highest diversity gut microbiomes to start the study were the ones that were most likely to have the decreases in inflammation. And so data seemed to be telling us that if you start off with a diverse microbiota, maybe one that's better equipped to degrade a wide variety of dietary fiber, you're more likely to respond positively to it. If you have a very depleted gut microbiome, you're not as likely to be able to respond to it. And many of us in the industrialized world have a microbiome that's so depleted now that even if we consume a high fiber diet, at least for a short period of time, we don't have the right microbes in our gut to degrade that fiber.
You know, probiotics are one of the more expensive supplements out there. You can quickly get into the several hundreds of dollars per month if you're getting the quote unquote best quality ones.
Right.
And if they're actually causing brain fog, then I'm not sure I'd want to use them. A few years back, there were some scientific reports, and as a consequence in the media, that excessive intake of pill form probiotics could create mental fog.